Hello there, everybody. Welcome back. This is The Independence. I'm sitting here with Ben Trimbo. Hi, Ben.
Jason, it's been a while.
It's been a couple weeks.
Yeah.
What's new? What's been going on?
I bet our listeners are wondering a little bit, you know, where the hell we've been, because we were pretty spot on. We were every week.
We're every week.
Podcast.
We're
now,
every week. Yeah.
Well, we had a little vacation.
We had a little vacation, a little injury timeout. I went and had surgery. A week ago today from when we're recording this.
That's right.
I went into...
looking spry, my friend.
I feel terrible, but I had...
Terrible.
Terrible. I had my Achilles on my left leg, the Achilles tendon, repaired. It was a full rupture. And a wonderful doctor, Dr. Meunier, put a 12-inch incision on the back of my leg. Did what's called a fold and tuck and partial graft, and one day...
That's not a small incision.
It's a huge incision, and it looks like it's a double board. It's very, very complicated.
You should get a really cool tattoo around that scar.
Exactly.
You should.
you know, like a Jacob's Ladder or something. but I'm in a cast with my foot in a plantar position, a pointed toe. To encourage healing, and I'll be in a cast for 6 weeks. It was not the most fun I've ever had. I was told that I was going to go in and leave that day. I, of course, stayed about 4 days in the hospital. And I'll tell you, apart from all the...
Yes, because I came last week to record our session, and you were not here.
No, I wasn't, because I was...
Which is okay.
I was on drugs in the hospital. I should say, I'm very proud of the fact that I took... Apart from the anesthesia and the nerve block they gave me the day of the surgery, I took not even a Tylenol at the hospital and still have it. I've been pain-free, which says something to the surgery and how well my body heals.
Yeah.
But I will say that the anesthesia and nerve block were plenty to keep me absolutely wasted for about a day and a half, because I didn't fully come till about Friday afternoon. So when I kind of got my phone back and was looking at things, I was like, Ben, what's Ben doing? What day is it? Where am I? It was a very confusing proposition, because I, in my mind, was going to wake up and go home. So when I woke up, I'm like, well, what? It's what day? Where am I? So it was very confusing. But, you know, I could talk about that forever, but...
Here you are.
But the only thing I had going for me in the hospital was that I had a television with cable.
Oh, cable. Does anybody watch cable anymore? Apparently only people in hospitals.
I think that's what they make it for, because when you watch, there's certain channels that you watch that have these just, there's only a handful of channels that are any good. Most of them are either home shopping or channels in other languages, or C-SPAN, or channels that play Criminal Minds, Blue Bloods, or
NCIS.
Law and Order. Did not get my NCIS. I finished them. I'm caught up. I'm okay. So I watched
Bloods, huh?
I watched, you know, 100 episodes of each one. Yeah, Tom Selleck. He does this kind of tough little deep voice for him, which I like. He made a character choice. I like it. Donnie Wahlberg's in it.
Huh.
Plays his son.
I haven't actually seen it.
The show. So basically it's three generations of New York cops. Tom Selleck is the father. His father, so Grandpa, was the commissioner of New York City and the NYPD. Now Tom Selleck is the commissioner, and his four kids, one died. Three of them are cops. One's a DA. The girl is the DA because they're sexist. And Donnie Wahlberg plays a detective, and his younger brother, who is, can't believe I know all this, who has graduated from Harvard as a lawyer, is now a rookie cop. And
you picked up a lot in your hospital view.
I watched about probably 20 to 30 episodes of that show. It was just always on, and I just would lay there because I couldn't sleep, and I would watch the show. So
will you continue to watch it? That's the question.
Now
that you are no longer beholden to
cable. I have so many other things that are better to watch, like The Strain. So, of course, I'll probably still watch Blue Bloods. Of course I will. And Criminal. But the thing that got me most about what these television shows that are obviously popular, because these are the ones that they're running a lot, are that they're all deal with pretty violent things. Like Criminal Minds is exceedingly violent. I mean, they're dealing with a serial killer every week, which is amazing that there's so many serial killers. So they've been on the air for like probably 10 years times 22 episodes.
Right.
That's a lot of serial killers.
Right.
And they're murdering people in unspeakable ways, and they show a lot of it. And even as desensitized as I thought I might have been, I'm like, this is on regular television. You can't see a woman breastfeed on television.
Right.
But you can depict a man pouring battery acid into a girl's eyes or chopping her fingers off and feeding them to her. And that's okay. Really disturbing.
So that's an interesting, sorry, my mind totally went sideways on that statement. Why is it okay to see a man's nipples and not a woman's?
Well, man's nipples are beautiful, and you should know that because you have a beautiful set of nipples. Yeah.
Actually, I do.
I don't know why they do that. It's so – I don't know why.
You know, in Europe, they don't do that shit. They don't care.
I know they don't because no one cares. But even – but if I were to see a set of – it's funny. I've seen my share of fair share of bare breasts. But if I were to be watching NBC and a topless woman came on, I would be shocked.
Right, because
not in a bad way, but I would be – I'm so surprised that it's on.
Right.
Because we're told that this is for – and that, but I don't – half of the people have them. Well, all of us have breasts, but half of us are women. Almost all of us, I would have imagined, at one time or another, had breastfed when we were young.
Right.
And there's nothing to be, I don't understand.
I don't either.
It's a confusing thing. Smarter people than us have debated this, but it really is, it's crazy how they avoid it, yet I just don't get it. But then, like, you can show butts.
Yeah.
And I don't want to see butts. I mean, it's a weird. It's like, oh, we'll compromise. We'll show the butt. I don't need to see anything really, but I should.
Right.
It should be a huge deal. And they're so coy about the swearing, but you can have the most gruesome depictions of violence.
Right. I remember X-Files back in the 90s would have like some pretty grotesque, you know, body parts and aliens and things like that.
My beloved NCIS every week will have a body, at least one body on the autopsy table, opened up.
Yeah. I can see that.
And, you know, it's like, it's pretty graphic. Now, there's nothing wrong with that but it is very graphic.
Yeah.
And,
but watch out for those women's nipples.
I mean, what is going to what's going to happen? Are people going to suddenly start using heroin? You know what I mean? We showed naked women, everyone started doing drugs. That's what happened.
So you watch Blue Bloods, any other shows that you got sucked into? Or?
I watched many episodes of Golden Girls.
That is a classic show.
And, you know, I made this remark to a friend. I said, it still made me laugh. And he was like, no, it didn't. And I'm like, it's a funny show.
It is.
I mean, it's not dated. They don't do, there's no real topical things they do. So they're not tied into pop culture. And these women are just, I don't know how old they are. It doesn't, they're just, the little witticisms in each character are so amazing. And the depth, some deep cuts in that stuff. And so I haven't seen that show I sat down and watched an episode, I don't know, 15, 20 years. And I watched maybe 10 of them.
Mm.
I really tried to remember when because every station, all these stations outrun like a block.
Yeah.
Four or five in a row, six in a row. And I really was just really appreciating it. I mean, you know, every once in a while they would try to deal with like one, like Dorothy was like sick for 6 months with the flu and no one to diagnose it, and it turned out that she had this disease that my mother has, fibromyalgia, which no one recognized. People still don't really recognize it, but in the 80s, I can't even believe that people knew what it was then. It was fascinating. But
I wonder if one of the writers knew somebody with it or had a relative with it.
I mean, they must. You know, they must have. It was written with that kind of sensitivity.
Yeah.
But that they have these four main characters that are all four so different.
Yeah.
And they're written so perfectly. Each character is so sure and separate from the others. It was wonderful. But
so would you recommend people go back, if they've never seen Golden Girls, to watch it? And if they have seen it, to reacquaint themselves?
I would, because it's like a surefire, like, man, it made me laugh.
Yeah, belly laugh? Like laugh out loud?
Yeah, I laughed out loud.
Nice.
I really had a good time. But those are the shows. But there's a channel called ION, and I think you get it even if you have no cable. You can flip around on your television.
Okay.
It's like this some free channel. And really, I've known about it for a few years because my buddy would go to his house, my friend would go to his house, and they would run these amazing movies in the afternoon, like these movies from the 70s, like this Meteor movie with Sean Connery or this really rare Sidney Lumet movie, also with Sean Connery. that was really strange and dark. But Ion has gone away from that a little bit, and they're running Criminal Minds 3 days a week, like all day, or like Law and Order all day. But then they also have original programming, and they had this movie that they kept advertising about this male witch falling in love, and it looked like it was made for $40 with no lights and the most average looking hunk you've ever seen. And I became fascinated with this. They would run a promo every 10 minutes. So I'm like, oh, I've got to watch this show.
Ion's original programming.
And it's like, do. And the other thing is like the Hallmark, it's like a Hallmark movie because Hallmark was touting. So I watched the last episode until like January of the Golden Girls, because now all they're doing is running their original movies, their Christmas movies. I guess they've made so many that they can run them for 2 months straight.
I am very familiar with the Hallmark Channel because my mother and my parents and my sister often will watch that when I go back for the holidays every year. And that's pretty much the only thing on.
Is that to like get you to leave quicker?
It's actually, I mean, they're not bad movies. I mean, they do a decent job. I don't know how many of you watched, but they all have the same premise, right? And you know, that usually the same kind of outcome. But it's a little interesting. I can see why it appeals to certain people.
But these are like, you know, Christmas is for love, yeah. And 'tis the love, and I'm just like, are you kidding me? A town called Christmas. Yeah. You know what? No, it's not. I don't need, you know, to see people who have everything discover true love. I it's so crazy.
Oh yeah,
the appeal of that. But I became fascinated.
They do sad ones too. There was one with Andy Garcia, whose wife had died, and he was trying to build this Ferris wheel in his backyard. And
was it a town called Ferris Wheel?
I don't remember what it was called.
It was the night before Ferris Wheel.
But they you know, I'm not trying to defend it. Obviously you can't see my smile right now. It's one of those like knowing smirks that I've been there.
Yeah.
And not by choice.
He's seen the truth. But I tell you what, if they had started airing them when I was watching, I would have sat there and watched as many as,
yeah,
and I would have been fascinated. But so that was that. But I was happy to get out and, you know, come home. And my thought was that I would return. And if I'm going to be sort of in the house for 6 weeks, that I would watch The Strain at last, catch up on some movies. But of course, what was suggested that I should watch first, I didn't get around to it, that I was dying to watch, was another probably bad movie. Maybe we'll see. Fantastic Four, which I understand you have recently.
Watched it. I finally saw it. Saw it the other day. And
where'd you see it? First of all, where'd you see it?
In the comfort of my home.
Did you snack while you watched it?
I did not snack.
Do you snack at home when you're watching a movie?
Often make popcorn, and I often will snack, but I think I just wasn't hungry
about it. Because we've talked before about our movie snacks.
Right.
What we like to get the movies, but I'm wondering, you know, I find people don't really do that at home all the time.
Well, sometimes I'll go over to Safeway because I can get the big-ass box of Junior Mints for a buck or whatever, or I can get my packs of Twizzlers. I try not to do that, though, because then I start a habit, and then I will just buy them all the time.
Sure.
And so, but the popcorn I'm okay with, and I do, like, popcorn with salt and sugar, you know, cheese. You know, I'll mix it up. I've got some pretty fun popcorn.
But Fantastic Four, snacks. It's just you and the movie.
Just me and the movie. I'm thinking, you know, God, like before it even came out, the director's like yelling at the studio, and I, you know, the critics are lambasting it, you know, in their previews or whatever. And you and I had this conversation. Like, we just had no desire to see it after seeing all of this kind of animosity.
The director on Twitter sort of renounced the movie shortly before it opened.
And I'll tell you this. For the first three quarters of the movie, thought it was pretty good.
Yeah,
I was like, I thought the actors choices were fine. I thought they did a good job. I thought the story was interesting, and they had kind of this weird twist on it. They took a little bit too long on the childhood of Reed Richards, I thought. And then the other big thing for me was they wanted to introduce an African American character. So they have Sue Storm, who's Kate Mara, and I don't know the actor who played Johnny, but she was adopted by his father. And I'm just thinking, just hire a fucking African American actress or something like that. Like, why don't we just, there's plenty of talent out there. So this is one of the things I'm like, right away, I'm like, why did you have to force this in there? Just like, so it's okay to have you know, two black people as super as predominant characters in a superhero movie.
Isn't that
movie.
Funny? They think that you people know? Will be... Aziz Ansari just said this thing, to digress a second on this topic, about he was asked why he didn't appear in Transformers. He was offered a small role as a like a telephone operator, and he's like, they wanted me to do an Indian accent. He's like, I'm not going to do that. And he's like, and he kind of broke down. He's like, you can have this many minorities in a movie, or a TV show or movie, but not this many. You know what I mean? He's like, you can't have two kind of principal. But yeah. People won't. And I think, of course, people. I don't care.
I know.
You draw more attention when you try to back around and say, we can't do that, so we're going to have her. So basically, Kate Mara was adopted. Her character is adopted by the guy playing, by Johnny Storm's
father.
Father.
And I can remember his name, something Storm. Yeah. So they go in, Kate, they're all like part of this like brain, the Baxter Institute, is like this brainchild institute that's kind of funded in the dark by some government agency. And so they build this dimensional portal, and they go to this other dimension. And this is where Victor Doom is whatever his last name is, Cameron, Dr. Doom, ultimately gets kind of lost in this portal, and it's basically a planet that's made completely of energy. And it's still, at this point, I'm still like, okay, interesting story. This is all right. So the planet like has this weird adverse effect. Victor gets left there, and then Victor Von Doom, and then they retreat back to our dimension, and then they have these weird powers that they can't control. So Reed kind of, you know, escapes, but Johnny and Sue are hanging out in this government facility, and they get these suits to kind of help them control their powers, and then they're looking for Reed, and oh yeah, then Ben Grimm gets turned into a rock monster, of course. That was kind of hokey. So still, it's not a bad movie. They're using these kids for, you know, their powers and so on and so forth. But then they go back, they build a new machine. The other one got destroyed. They go back to this dimension, and Victor is now like a god in this dimension because he's been imbibed with all of this energy from this planet. So I'm still okay in the movie at this point, but he comes back to our dimension and he just starts killing people left, right, like exploding their heads and stuff like that with his mind. And all I'm thinking is, man, this just turned into this like dark horror movie. And I got a little excited. I did. I was like, I have not seen a superhero movie that went down almost the horror movie route. And I thought, God, how nice, how great would that be? How great would it, like, I always think back to the old X-Men comic books, and there was this whole series with the thing, these monsters called the Brood.
Yeah.
I don't know if you ever read those, but they insert a spore in you, kind of like aliens, and then you turn into this Brood monster. And it was dark, it was vicious, there was, you know, it was like aliens, but X-Men. And I just thought, that's like a horror movie, you know, and I think it would be such a cool... So anyways, I'm thinking, all right, did someone decide to just really go dark and like have this sort of horror mentality? No, guess what they do, Jason? Von Doom comes back and he decides he's going to destroy the Earth and suck it into the other dimension using this black hole energy hole that he makes. And I'm like, really? This is going to be a fucking save the entire world, end of the world scenario, a fucking gen? I was so pissed off.
Yeah.
And the way they handled it, like the battles were okay, the teamwork, it was hokey. But at this point, I'm just like, another goddamn save the world scenario. It was not that.
The stakes are always...
It was
so huge when...
Oh, man.
And stakes can be as big as... I mean, sometimes the stuff saving, you know, like the first Iron Man, they were just fighting the guy. There were no real...
Second one, too.
Stakes, which is, yeah, I mean, there's some people in danger, but it's... you don't have to... It can be that big. But now every Avengers movie is the world, you know?
Right. Well, the Avengers, you got eight superheroes. Why would they come together other than that?
But
that one I kind of forgive.
But you can't do it again. It's like you got to do something else.
Yeah.
And you can, but you can also, they could have sucked them into another dimension and just had a big fight. I mean, excuse me. I just feel like I'm with you. And the idea of I was really hooked on your idea of like a horror movie kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like, or just a really dark superhero movie where it's like it's dark, where it's like, you know, as realistic, I guess, as the Dark Knight movies were.
Yeah, have you seen, a little off topic but on, have you seen the previews for Jessica Jones?
I saw the one where, you know, she walks across the the bar after she's
whipped everybody's ass.
Yeah.
So they just came out with a trailer for the series.
Yeah.
And it looks dark and
it's supposed to be very dark.
Super interesting. And I think I'm excited. Just and that's honestly that's one of the reasons I just picked up Netflix was because I saw that trailer and I was like, I want to see this show.
Well, I haven't seen all of Daredevil yet, but that's a pretty dark, violent show.
You and I talked about this, I think, before, and I loved Daredevil. I would have gone darker with it.
Huh.
I still think they did a good job. I love that. I'm going to watch it again, actually.
But I really was like, wow, this is pretty. And I think that's okay. I mean, there's a way to deal with sort of, I guess, my violence. It's like a comic book sort of fantasy world. For me, there's a sort of difference other than like being in this real world setting of like Criminal Minds where we have these serial killers and we're cops and they're setting a realistic world where there's so many like shoot first things. There's so many murders that like the police do. In NCIS, the first couple seasons, and they went away from it, but the first couple seasons, they're nary an episode where they don't kill someone at the end.
Oh, you told me that.
Yeah, where they just, I mean, it's like, Mark Harmon, you're a kind of a mass murderer. There's a point where you look at it, you're like, you know, I remember looking up the facts on like how many people Jack Bauer from 20 for that character.
Oh, we know he's an evil like killing bastard.
But a couple hundred people.
I believe it.
That he killed. I mean, that's insane.
Do you remember the movie Unbreakable?
Yeah.
So that was my first taste with a kind of a dark superhero tale with the serial killer.
And that was amazing.
And I thought that was such a great take on it.
It was fantastic.
And I'd love to see more of that.
Can I tell you my Unbreakable story? I was working at I was still managing theaters then, and we had that had come in. And so back in the day when you had prints, they come in on Thursday. You build them up, and then you run them at night to make sure that you built them correctly and that there's nothing damaged. And so I wanted to see it. I really liked Sixth Sense, so I went and sat down and watched Unbreakable. And, you know, of course, then you didn't know anything about movies, really. So I had no idea what the hell this thing was. And I'm watching it, and it ended. And the way it ended, I was like, what the hell just happened? What? I didn't get it. I'm like, it's okay, but, like, I really did get it. I was so creeped out by that stuff. And then it didn't occur to me until I was sucked in. And then it opened the next day, and my friend Ted watched it. We're talking, he's like, it's just the best comic book movie. And once he said that, I was like, I am such an idiot. And I felt this change in me. I'm like, this movie's amazing. Huh. And I went and watched it, like, I think that next week. And I was like, I don't know how I didn't pick it up, why I wasn't sophisticated enough to pick it up. But I thought, yeah, this is phenomenal that you're
right.
You're watching this. I didn't put it together that this was a superhero
movie.
Yeah, even as I mean, they tell you at the end, basically. Yeah. But and so now when I watch it, I watched it recently, and I thought this is just spectacular. What a clever way to do that. But again, that I mean, him. Every person he touched were terrible people, but in a realistic like people do that. You know, the kid. You know, who's the guy who comes in, he's going to rape that girl who's asleep, who's drunk, and people hitting their kids and just terrible things. But that serial killer, and that was a dark portrait of a serial killer.
Right.
And that battle they had, which was really just one high angle take. And it was really savage and really, I really liked it.
Yeah.
And that they even brought in, you know, that thing, you know, he's like this supervillain. He was housed with the criminally insane, like these wonderful, you know, tropes. And actually just the other night watched Batman Begins was on Netflix. So I watched it and it's different than the next two, but even that, I still love in this sort of real world that you have this Arkham Asylum and the people who go there, the idea of the criminally insane paints such a huge picture for me that I wish other movies did that, but I like that. I guess you have to go to Netflix and watch Daredevil and Jessica Jones to get, like, I don't know why they think they wouldn't do it in the movies.
Yeah. Well, but it's interesting. So you think about it, like in the 90s, we had comic book movies that were kind of comedic and jokey.
Yeah.
You know, the first Batman was, it was a little, it had its serious parts for sure, but it definitely had a little bit of a playful feel to it.
Yeah.
I don't want to judge that, but like the later Batman Robins and stuff like that, like they were more action movies. They were less treaties
on joke movies.
Why is Batman the way he is? Oh, okay. His parents died and they breeze through that. And then it's like, okay, it's just Batman kicking everybody's ass. It's like, well, let's look at the characters, like actual character development, really looking into who they are as people. And I think that's such a more interesting take because now you're looking at someone and you're going, all right, what is it truly like to have, you know, super strength in a world where nobody else does, or a world where, you know, it's what certain people do, or what is it really like to be able to read someone else's mind all the time?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So
in the Superman movie that came out, the last one that came out,
Man of Steel,
I enjoyed the little parts, because here's something that I hate. I hate that everyone has to do the origin story. We get it. Everyone knows where Superman came from. Everyone knows where Batman came from. Stop it with the origin story. There's a clip in the Batman Superman where they're going back to the Wayne thing. I'm like, are you kidding me? We know.
I won't judge until I've seen it.
But I do judge it because it's like you don't need to do it. Anyway, it makes me fucking furious. But in Man of Steel, in telling that, they dealt with, like, that he can hear everyone. And, like, what, like you just said, like, what effect does that have? I love that. Like,
yeah.
More of that. And, like, how his mother was like, just do this and focus on this. Like, teaching him how to deal with these powers. Because that's, you have to think that being Superman, you have to learn how to have maybe a lighter touch.
Oh, God, yeah.
And to be able to touch people and put it in, not, I mean, you think that.
You know what I always think about? How the hell did they cut his hair when he was a kid?
I think about that all the time.
I'm always like, how did they do that?
Because in, like, crazy Superman 4, I remember Superman 4.
That is piece of hair.
That piece of hair that's about, like, 1,000 pounds.
Yeah.
And guy just goes, cut, cut, and they send it to him. I'm like, you just cut his Predator player.
I've also heard that in some instances they've said that he has this aura, this, like, shield, basically, that emits out from, like, an inch off of his skin.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why his outfit never gets destroyed. So I don't know what the prevailing theories or rules are in the comic book world.
But, yeah, that's interesting. Yeah.
Anyways,
the suit is another thing I should have mentioned. Yeah, because that's insane. But again, people, I can bitch about that, but also that's just insane to me because he's an alien who can fly around.
Right.
It's ridiculous. People who complain about the realism of movie, I'm like, well, you are talking about someone called Spider-Man, who got bit by a spider and can crawl with walls.
Well, they call it, what is it, suspension of disbelief.
Yeah, but it's nothing. It's total fantasy.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I don't care about the rules in those movies.
Yeah.
I care about people just telling the stories, in my opinion, badly. Because you can do, like what you were saying, it's like, why not
make an interesting character?
Like, people don't give a shit about the Fantastic Four. Why not make it interesting and see if you hook them? Because guess what? You tried to play it safe and everyone hated it.
Right.
You had the first, I mean, the fact that they've never figured out Fantastic Four, it's like, what are you doing wrong? And you're doing a lot of things. Why not take a risk? Like, I like that Marvel's making movies of characters. I've never heard of Doctor Strange. I have no idea what these things are.
Right.
But that's kind of exciting to me. It's like, more often, like,
Doctor Strange will be awesome. Luke Cage will be awesome.
I thought Ant-Man was a stupid idea. Enjoy the heck out of the movie.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I'm with you there. On Ant-Man, I was like, I have no idea how they're going to make this interesting.
It was a dumb-sounding thing.
They went comedy, and that was perfect. And by the way, it wasn't a fucking end-of-the-world scenario. We talked about this
already. Exactly. But you know that he's going to get – it's like – and I like those little things. You can have these massive – but then you come down, it's these little – because that's – it's interesting, and it's sort of more maybe even believable to bring in that word. But it's just – people, they just try to cram so much in. But the end of the world again?
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be that.
Yeah, I'm going to rail against that probably until they stop doing it for about 10 years. I'm hoping the pendulum goes the other way. We go back to these personal, like, realistic stories of things I'm trying to save. I'm trying to save my family. I'm trying to save the community. I'm not trying to save the entire planet from its destruction.
Yeah. When we're running things, right?
That's right. That's right.
So before we go, I don't want to go before I ask you about what's going on with your script that I know you sent out.
Yeah.
And
so
you had it read by someone at the Blacklist, I think.
Yeah. So the script was finished. I need to send it to you, the final copy.
Yeah.
Since you're going to have all this
time. I've got some time.
So the script is finished. I put it on the Blacklist, and I didn't really understand how it worked until I got on there. But basically, you put it out on there, and other people who are paying to have their scripts hosted on there can go and look at it, but they can't rate it. And then you have to pay Blacklist to get one of their readers to look at it, and then they'll give you an evaluation.
Okay.
And if you want more than one evaluation, you pay for
it. So you pay to get it put on there.
Yeah.
And then it's on there and anyone can read it.
Anybody can read it, but the only people really reading it are other writers.
Sure, but they can read it, but that's where it stops. But you can pay to have someone from their staff read it and give you stuff. And you can, if there's 20 people, you can pay 20 times.
Exactly. So those readers
read
it. What's
the cost to pay someone to read it?
I want to say $50.
All right.
It wasn't crazy. But I think the reason it's not crazy is because you want 10 people to read it, so now you're spending $500. My issue here is this. So I've been working with a professional reader, not on the blacklist, with my script, and he's a really, really good guy, good help, very, very good person, and I owe him a ton of credit for helping me build my story into a better thing. So I've been working with him, and he's like, you know, dialogue solid, you know, all of these things he's very happy with. He's like, go for it, send it out there. And he warned me before I did this. He said, but just be aware that other people may not get it. They may take it a different way. So just be prepared for that. And sure as shit, the first person to read my script, dialogue is stilted, this, that, and the other thing. You know, and they had a lot of really good things to say, like, you know, every scene never leaves you, like, bored or anything like that. It moves really well, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. My issues are this, though. Like, the dialogue isn't stilted. There are specific forms of dialogue used by specific races. So, like, elves in particular don't contract words. They're very proper in the way that they speak. And so there's a couple of things I've done, and I've done that with characters just to change their character voice as well. And it really annoyed me that this person who probably read it really quickly through, maybe skimmed it, then formed their paper to get their $50 or whatever their take is, didn't take the time to really understand what was going on there. Or they just didn't conceptually understand it. Sure. So now
it feels to me it's more conceptually, like they didn't take that moment to be like, to think, well, and you don't have to spell everything out, but it's like, because why would you say everyone speaks different? It's like, you should just sort of ideally get that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And I've had multiple people read the script who are industry people, and I pointed it out to one person, and as soon as I pointed it out, they went, oh, that makes so much sense. And they, you know, so this is why I'm like, so here's my issue is, well, there's two issues here. First, do I pay another reader to read? Do I keep paying for readers at Blacklist to read it until I find somebody who fucking gets it? Or do I've entered it into a script writing competition too. So we'll see how that goes. But I'm going to wait till I get some feedback from that too. But and if I do go pay a bunch of readers, the issue there is that every time a reader does it, they rate it 1 out of 10. And then that you get like an average of all of those ratings.
Yeah.
So now, you know, if I go get 10 readers and 5 of them don't get it, 5 of them do, that's going to pull my reading.
What benefit do you have by getting these people to read it? Like, what do you get out of it?
Well, I mean, if you have a script that everybody gets and likes, then you can get some high visibility on their website. You can potentially get some sort of an agent deal or, you know, production, you know, interest.
Other than that, it sounds like you're just burning money until you get someone to give you the answer that you want, which is like, you know.
And what I need to do, actually, maybe I'll do this. Maybe I'll send them an email and say, look, I need people who read fantasy predominantly to read my script. Because otherwise, the people aren't going to get it. And I'm tired.
Unless you have like a cover sheet or some little pearl that says, you know, just some notes on this, like, people speak like this, you know what I mean?
Well, one of my other big gripes was, you know, they dinged me all these things, and they gave me this, like, a lot of really good, like, this is great, we really like this and that and the other thing, but they didn't reflect it in their grade. And then they said this, you keep referring to this dark plot that's going on, but I didn't see it in the first episode. And I'm like, this is an intro pilot that is introducing the world and a lot of the main characters, and you're mad that you didn't see the fucking dark plot, even though it's there, but you're mad that you couldn't pull it out in the first episode. How fucking simple do you need a goddamn story to be before you're going to accept it? I'm like, man, I get so pissed. One of the reasons I don't watch broadcast television is because it's written for fucking 6th to 8th grade level readers. It's not written for people who, like, I want high concept. Yeah. I want to be able to watch a show and not know what the fuck's going to happen next week. Instead of like, oh, yeah, that person's going to die, and this person's actually the one who's the bad guy. You know what I mean? Yeah. I don't want to have it figured out in 5 minutes.
That's what I spent, you know, my time in the hospital watching these shows that, I mean, they're formulated for a reason. Here is our – and you see the plot. This is going to happen. This is going to happen. This is going to happen. And when they, it's difficult when you have two characters who are supposedly, like in Criminal Minds, these are like the tie-in profilers, and two of them are tied, but they have to explain everything to you. And they'll be looking about the drag the river. Well, I mean, and they're just telling each other facts that you would think the other person obviously knows.
Right.
These simple things, you know. And I caught about two segments of CSI Cyber. And these two tech guys, like computer nerds, they're trying to track a guy online. And they're trying to do it through an app. And they're like, And this is deep into the episode, so they're like, if we backtrace to the host site, you know, they're like, we got 37 people who, only 37 people downloaded this app, but he's got to be one of them, let's put in these parameters. All right, I think we got the guy. He's like, you know, if we went in there, we could find his credit cards he used to pay. And the other guy's like, wait, then we'd get his home address. And he's like, you got it, let's go. That is, honest to God, almost exactly how it was delivered.
Oh,
and I'm like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Because I usually know the people at home are going, oh, yeah, that's right, we thought of that. And it's like, it was so terrible. So I get what you're saying. That's got to be frustrating. I think, my solicited opinion is, you know, I think you're pouring money into a thing where these people are, it sounds like the blacklist turned into just like a money-making scheme. And they're going to lure you in, and like maybe the next one, before you know, like you said, $500 for 10 people, you know, and who aren't going to give you ultimately what you want, because what you want is all 10 to love it.
I need 10 people who get the genre.
Yeah, and you know, you could really spend $10,000 to get that. Maybe that's the amount, and you don't know who these fucking people are. Like you said, that's a tough situation to be in.
Yeah,
but.
So, you know, it is what it is. I'm going to enter into some script writing competitions. I think my biggest problem is that this is a TV pilot for a fucking, like, massive, like complex show. Yeah. And most people are writing movie scripts that are way more simple. Yeah. A movie is a fucking short story. You know what I mean? Like, it is literally 100 page less, you know, like novel or short story.
It's a line drawing, it's, and you're talking about simple. Painting.
Exactly. Thank you. That's a great analogy. I'm going to steal that one. So, and I think what I really need to do is, well, actually, I've gone back and I'm working on my book now. I'm banging through my book. I want to finish that this year. And then after I'm done with that, I have another movie idea. It's basically very simple, straightforward, also kind of supernatural based, which I enjoy that genre. And I think that will play better with these types of people, because that's what they're used to reading. They're used to reading a movie script, and they go, "Does it hit these three? Is there three acts? Does it hit these main points of, you know, like the hero, you know, goes, you know, things are going well, but then right before you think things are going to go, he hits rock bottom, and after he hits rock bottom, then everything comes back up. Like there's this standard story, you know, thing that people go through. And so I'm going to try to write a script that goes a little bit more to heart and see how that goes over with some of these people. But I mean, the reality is I'm just trying to get someone relevant in that industry to look at my shit because you can't talk to anybody. You can't get anybody to do anything with your stuff until you are represented. So until I can get representation, it doesn't matter. So, and I'm not thinking, I don't think I'm the greatest author in the world. I think I'm the greatest writer, but it's interesting.
Your pitch for the Accord is pretty sweeping. It's pretty epic, dude.
It would be a cool show. I would watch it. Yeah. I've had a lot of people go, I would watch that show.
This is the right time for it, too.
Yeah.
It's the perfect time. With like,
Game of Thrones.
With like Game of Thrones, and then you have like Grimm and that other show on ABC, and you have these fantasy has always sort of been around peripherally, but the key is that they've always been around, and they're on for 10 years or something.
Yeah.
And you just like, you put it all together in this cool sort of way, and, you know, give what people want. Well, we've been jabbering at you for a while.
We have. This is a
listener. So we want to thank you. We're going to save some for next time, where I will still be
convalescing in your abode.
I was going to say, you know, I'm differently abled now.
Differently abled?
I'm not able to do things. I'm able to do things differently, slowly and with a really beautiful walker. I did finally watch my first in my life full episode of Walker, Texas Ranger. And I will say this. When they delivered my walker, this woman came in, and I was watching Walker, Texas Ranger, and she came in, And she kind of held it up to show it to me. I said, great. And she set it down. She looked at the TV, and she looked down at the walker and pointed back up and said, that is funny. And I said, that is, and I got it, and I laughed, and I said, I will call this walker Texas Ranger. And she's like, I know, because of the show. And I said, yeah, we're on the same page, hon.
So you're going to get up and use your Texas Ranger to get around the apartment?
I'm going to use Walker Texas Ranger to sluggishly move around the apartment. Thank you, everyone, for continuing to listen. Or if you're here for the first time, welcome. Thank you. Please come back. We're here every week, more or less. You can find Ben Trimbo on Twitter at...
at Ben Trimbo.
You can find me at Jason _ Rouse. I've been away for a little bit, but I'll be back on. Probably talking about life in my bed and what the cast is doing and how I feel about it. You can pick your color of cast, by the way.
And I saw that you have a sleek black.
They're all cast. Neon, except for this. I preferred the black because, and I was thanked. She said, thank you. Cause they did a neon orange one earlier in the day. She said it gave everyone a headache putting it on. So I said, oh, I won't do that to you. I was so tempted to do it though. But anyways,
maybe
next time. That's it. For Ben Trimbo, I'm Jason Rouse. This is The Independents. Thanks and goodbye.
Goodbye, everybody.